Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is a very special episode of Insider Interviews. Yeah, I think they're all special, but in this case, it's a five-time treat. It's episode five with five different guests included. This was recorded spontaneously right after a panel I ran during South by Southwest, thanks to the fabulous people at Sounds Profitable. Each of my guests spoke about a different area of the business of podcasting. So here's who you're going to hear from. Michael Kay is the Global Director of Brand Communications at OkCupid, an online dating app. Not saying that I know it that well, but okay, I kind of know it pretty well. Next up, we had Brandon Reed, who's the host and creator of 12-Hour Sound Machines, a viral podcast that puts you to sleep. You'll understand in a minute. Third, we have Bonna Rai. She is the COO and co-founder of a tool I'm going to use to generate some show notes for this using AI. Her company is called CapShow. Then we have Chris Whitman, co-founder of Glassbox Media, which is sort of like picture a music label meets podcasts with big influencers involved. And finally, AJ Feliciano, who's the head of Rooster Teeth's The Roost Podcast Network that really started the whole groundswell of podcasts leveraging video. So we'll hear from five folks here on this edition of Insider Interviews. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is Insider Interviews, where you get the insider scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising. You might be able to tell that I'm recording this live at an event from the fabulous people at Sounds Profitable. So I'm here with Michael Kay. Hello, Michael.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
We're so thrilled that you participated in the panel. You did a terrific job on a hot day in Austin. Michael, share your title and what your role is at OkCupid, which of course I'm a big fan of.
So I'm the head of brand and communications at OkCupid, where I oversee communications, influencer marketing, and social media.
And with that, I know that OkCupid has been involved in podcasting. What's been the journey?
Yeah, so we started testing podcast advertising during the pandemic and running that for a few years. And obviously, as marketing budgets got cut or shifted and dollars reallocated, we're now for 2023 momentarily focusing on earned with podcasting. So pitching our experts to be interviewed on different podcasts. And of course, coming out of 2023, we'll be looking again at podcast advertising and exploring that space even further.
But you have had success on both sides of the coin, right?
Absolutely. We've seen tremendous impact on both podcast advertising and obviously with earned pitching our experts. And again, I think it goes back to what you're investing. So the more dollars you're spending, obviously we saw tremendous impact with podcast advertising. But as budgets got cut, we had to rethink of how we're spending our marketing dollars. But again, something we're definitely open to exploring and will be testing again in the future.
And you are so well-spoken. You just answered that on the fly. I grabbed you here at Cenote after our panel. And no wonder you're so good at providing that earned media. So you guest often?
Yes, it's almost like I'm paid to be a great communicator.
What a concept. Michael Kay with OkCupid, thank you. That was more than okay.
Thanks so much.
I wanted to get the POV of a POD caster, and I came across Brandon Reed here at Sounds Profitable, and he's got about a gazillion listeners. Brandon, how are you?
Good, yeah, gazillion, I guess. Yeah, a gazillion.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. Your podcast is called 12-Hour Sound Machines.
That's right.
A name that might put me to sleep. Tell me about it.
Yeah, a lot of people sleep to it. It's about the most straightforward title you could ever imagine. My newborn, who's now four, couldn't sleep through the night, and so I created 12 hours of what was initially brown noise, it's like a white noise, to get him to sleep, and then people started finding it. Yeah.
And now, seriously, not exactly a gazillion. Tell me about your uptake and how long it's been going on. It's about 4 years?
About 4 years. I went from zero to about 50,000 downloads a day with It was just brown, pink, and white noise. I didn't touch it. It just organically grew. People just found it. It was pure utility value. It helped people sleep and focus and study. And then beyond that, as I was getting closer to about 100,000 or so a day, I felt that snowball was big enough, and I started placing some ads, treating it like a business, and growing it from there. And now we're at about 300,000 downloads a day. We just passed 70 million total.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Just like the size of Insider Interviews.
You say a gazillion.
Yeah, we'll go with that. So I was really interested in your business model. So you've placed advertising about 12-hour sound machines, but you're getting ad-supported sponsors as well. How does that work?
Yeah, I started by first directly selling to brands. I did a deal with BetterHelp, with 8Sleep, with Athletic Greens, some of the big players in the space. Directly sold my inventory to them. That was taking a lot of my time. I don't think I mentioned this, but I work full-time at Disney. And that's my full-time, my day job. And I have two young boys and didn't have time. So I started looking into the programmatic solution. It's like, I knew that was a thing. I connected with Brian. It sounds profitable. He kind of helped me navigate that world. And yeah, now I run, I'm on Megaphone. So I'm in the Spotify audience network.
Can you explain what Megaphone is also?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Megaphone's just a hosting platform. It's one of Spotify's solutions. They have Anchor and they have Megaphone. I grew on Anchor up to like 100,000 a day. Moved over to Megaphone so I could begin to monetize. They're much more monetization focused. Someone over there became part of this Span network, and I placed two pre-rolls. So I basically just put in these two dynamic slots. I'm like, hey, I'm a podcast and I have lots of people listening, and these partners, these brands that are in this network are like, hey, we want to advertise on podcasts. So they just slot in. I'm able to exclude certain categories and such. But one thing I was mentioning to you is like, man, my audience sleeps and everybody sleeps. And so no matter what the brand was or what the products they were selling, by and large, it was applicable for me. So programmatic was a really good solution for me, because a lot of people are worried about, well, what if the brands that are advertising to our listeners aren't applicable? They don't resonate. And I'm like, well, dude, like, people who sleep need legal services. They need mattresses. There's so many different things. So it was a really good solution for me.
And it's interesting to me because I think you said that it's just a pre-roll ad, right?
Yeah, only pre-roll. I run two pre-roll slots, and can't run mid-roll, can't run post-roll, because I am not going to be...
They're sleeping.
I'm not going to be responsible for waking up a baby at like 3 a.m., 6 hours through my episode. So yeah, just pre-roll. And that's been plenty. With the amount of listenership I've been able to gain and grow as I've been doing this more seriously as a business, that's been plenty.
So what's also interesting is that to me, that implies that it's almost subliminal messaging. And do you position a pre-roll as someone launches your podcast, each night they're going to hear this little message, and then the little white noise, pink noise, brown noise comes in. So do you leverage that positioning of subliminal messaging?
When I have these dynamic ads, I'm not speaking with the brand at all. I don't know even on a day-to-day basis who's advertising, and so I don't speak to them directly. But as I've worked with brands directly, when I do that, I very much pitch my podcast as that and say, listen, this is an incredibly engaged and focused moment. These people don't have devices in their hand. I mean, things like driving are very passive activities, so that's a very focused moment, but it's not even that. I mean, they're literally laying their head on a pillow or they're holding their baby in their arms, and that's a very powerful moment. And then my data shows that people are listening to these episodes about two times a day. They're sleeping, their babies are napping, their babies are sleeping. So I have a very strong play for just like constantly touching these people. Like, I worked with 8Sleep and they heard sleep on an 8Sleep mattress, sleep on an 8Sleep mattress, sleep on an 8, like up to two times a day. And I'm telling you, Evie, when these episodes, when people listen, it's incredibly sticky. It's like habitual. They do not miss, because that's the only thing they can sleep to. When they find their noise, they sleep to that every night. So it's a very powerful connection with my audience, with they listen to me every day.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I was napping.
I was napping. Yeah.
Brandon Reed, thank you so much for this spontaneous conversation. I can't wait to listen. I know it's going to be a big help to me.
Good. Yeah, thanks so much, EB.
Okay, we're back at Sounds Profitable with a new member of their collective, and her name is Bonna Rye. She is a co-founder of a product that I coincidentally came across at Podcast Movement, and then she showed up here at Sounds Profitable. And I have to tell you that this is a product that I'm really intrigued by. I haven't tried it yet, so I'm not endorsing But I'm going to let her tell you what it does, because I can tell you that as a podcaster, you spend an inordinate amount of time creating all of your evangelism, your social media. You use things like Canva and Headliner to create little audiograms. You guys have seen them to promote my podcast, to write all of my show notes, and you know that I'm a journalist, so it takes me extra time because I'm fastidious about my words. So it's so much time, and they said, we do it all. Bonna, what's Cap Show?
I'm here to save the day. So lovely to be here. So yeah, that's what Cap Show does, is we're here to leverage AI to amplify your voice. So we take, our starting point is actually your episode audio file or video file. And what we do is we take that, we transcribe it, and using our marketing background as well as our AI technology, we actually turn that into all of the marketing content copy-wise that you need to promote but also grow your show. So everything from your episode title and description right through to LinkedIn articles, social media captions, as well as blog posts and longer form copy like that.
I love you so much right now. I can't wait to try this. I will report back, by the way, so I'm not blowing smoke. So is it also SEO optimized?
Absolutely. So what we do is we're big believers in, like we said, starting with the creator. So what our content is very much topic rich. We are actually looking to, with 2.0, bring in SEO indicators so you can actually see on the platform, you get, you know, SEO data in terms of how your topic is doing. But we are very much creating content that's topic specific as well as audience specific, so that will give you a head start in the drafts that's created.
Now, this is not your background. Were you a podcaster?
I have podcasted before, especially with my co-founder, Deidre. I guested on a few things. I did have a podcast that I would co-host, I want to say part-time. But really, what I was an entrepreneur looking to use content marketing to grow my business along with my co-founders. And that's who we've connected with here to say, actually, this is a real problem for podcasters. But I do identify as a big podcast listener, and anything to help podcasters is right up my alley.
I love that. And just nod your head and say, yes, you've listened to Insider Interviews as one of your podcasts.
Yes, and yes. I'm nodding my head aggressively.
Yes. Excellent. So I do want to know a little bit about how you landed here, because Cap Show is only like 10 months old, but you had a very impressive booth. I give you an A+ for your collateral, for your signage. It drew me in. So how did you evolve from being a coach and a content marketer to this very specific world?
Thank you for the feedback on the booth. So basically, you know, I'm a big believer in just learning, problem solving. That's two things that I love doing. And we realize there's a real problem in terms of actually the creator being completely sapped away, their energy, their bandwidth by things that didn't matter, but was ultimately getting in the way of the things that did. So for us, once we decided what problem we wanted to solve, we were able to actually connect with the right people in technology, where none of us are technical, none of us co-founders are technical. But again, that was just another thing that we needed to do to make sure that the problem was solved. So finding the right problem to solve and answering the right question was actually the main starting point for us.
But that speaks to being a brilliant content marketer, because as one as well, your goal is to identify the problem and then come up with a way to message and position and create content that speaks to solving the problem for others. So I'm really thrilled that you put on your thinking cap that way. So you've launched 1.0. Again, you're only 10 months old, and 2.0 comes out in April.
Yes, this end of this quarter, we'll be launching 2.0. As you say, for a 10-month-old company, like, what business do you have launching 2.0? But it was actually based on all of the feedback that we received from our wonderful community of users. We wouldn't be where we are without them. We're extremely community and user-focused. So all of the feedback has actually helped us create a much, much more compelling product with 2.0. So we're super excited.
Well, it's very compelling to me. Bonna Rai from Cap Show, that's C-A-P-S-H-O. And I can't wait to play in your playground. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Whitman, this is like the third time I've seen you across three different conferences. I think I met you at On Air Fest in Brooklyn. I saw you this week at Podcast Movement in Las Vegas. And aren't we the guys about town? Because now we're in Austin at the shoulder programming of South by Southwest from Sounds Profitable. Good to see you, my three-peat friend.
Good to see you as well. And, you know, I'm going to add one more. It's a four-peat because we actually met at the Audio Intelligence Summit, I guess, right before On Air Fest.
You're exactly right, from Veritonic, which, by the way, I wrote an article about. You can find it on thecustomer.net. Anyway, I was intrigued all four times that I've come across you and Glassbox Media about what you do and what you do differently. So I really kind of wanted to get it from your perspective, and you're a co-founder, so take it from the top.
Yeah, so the best way to think about Glassbox is like a record label for podcast hosts.
What?
Yeah, exactly that. So, you know, when we think about it, it's like, you know, a Warner Music model. So essentially, when we started connecting with podcast hosts and trying to work with them, we found out pretty early on that they care about two things: money and growth. And not necessarily equally. And so what we decided to do with Glassbox was basically grow the value of the IP for the creators across, you know, any sort of opportunity from a revenue perspective. So that can be brand partnerships, that can be premium feeds and subscriptions, that can be tours now that podcast hosts are the new rock stars, and also derivatives and adaptations. But also to grow the value of those opportunities, we want to grow the shows as well. So we have a marketing team that's actively growing those properties, and we're venture-backed as well. So what we'll do is minority stake IP investments within those hosts too.
So can you bring it to life, illustrate an example? I don't care if you have to private label it or drop names, but give us an example.
Yeah, a good example would be, I think a lot of podcast hosts, especially a lot of the ones that we work with, have found amazing success basically building a business from their basement, for lack of a better comparison. So, you know, they talk about true crime or talk about conspiracies or talk about education or travel. And what they've done is built, you know, maybe 500,000 million listeners just by doing that over the course of the pandemic. And many of the people that we talk to really want to focus on what they do best, which is just creating awesome content and doing it wonderfully. But they need to figure out a way to operationalize themselves. And we've just found that, you know, across the competitive landscape, a lot of our competitive set tends to focus primarily just on ad sales, which is good. It's a good business. A lot of people have been really successful doing that. But our whole goal at Glassbox was to basically create a deeper relationship with the podcast hosts that we're working with. And it's been amazing, honestly, amazing journey. I think we signed our first podcast in May 2021, and now we represent around 65. We're reaching millions of listeners every month, and no end in sight.
And is there an example of what you've done for a particular podcaster and how you leveraged and grew their celebrity?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one society and culture podcast that comes to mind, On the Edge with Andrew Gold, we signed him pretty early on, was one of the earlier signees. But what we were able to do is basically almost overnight grow his podcast 3x what the audience was.
Wait, what? How?
So our marketing team has done an incredible job basically scaling and figuring out ways to make marketing strategies effective and efficient. And the catch is with $0 changing hands. So we've created a barter strategy where we trade millions of impressions both internally and externally with our quote-unquote frenemy networks. We pair that with guest swaps. So we've got a marketing team that is actively doing that across all of our shows in the portfolio. And then we also do platform pitching. So we make sure to reach out to Apple and Spotify and make sure that our podcasts are getting featured across all those platforms as well.
That is so interesting. Are you by any chance taking on new clients in the very small B2B podcast space about media marketing and advertising?
Absolutely. Yeah, we love the B2B space, and so do advertisers. So we're in there.
Okay, everybody, you heard that. And in the meantime, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal and throw me $5. All right, Chris Whitman from Glassbox Media, thank you for being here and explaining your fabulous and different kind of business model.
Thank you for having me.
AJ Feliciano, it's so good to see you again. I saw you last time was virtually like a year and a half ago, and you were on a panel for Content Cast, which we did with NatPe about the crossover from Hollywood to podcasting, podcasting to Hollywood IP. That was great. And now I see you IRL here in Austin where you live. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, you are a member and today's sponsor, I think, of Sounds Profitable's event. And, you know, we're doing these spontaneous interviews. So I was so happy to see you that I needed to grab you and have you just chat with us about what's been going on since I saw you virtually.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with, I think that you are the head of The Roost. If you could tell us what that is.
Absolutely. So The Roost Podcast Network is a video-first podcast network. We have video and audio, probably one of the earliest ever in the space. We have about 90 shows. A third of them are owned and operated shows that we shoot out of Austin and also in Los Angeles. And then we also supplement that with partner shows that we handle sales, marketing, and distribution for, you know, much like any ordinary podcast network out there. What's great about our operation is that because we're creators ourselves, we've been podcasting for now 15 years. We sort of speak the language and very early on sort of saw the opportunities of what podcasting could become and really early thought leader in what the conversation is today, or at least we like to say that sometimes. Right now, a lot of folks are talking about YouTube. Well, we've been podcasting on YouTube for a very, very long time. And, you know, for us, it's about, well, what is it about YouTube and what is it about multi-platform distribution on podcasts that makes it so worthwhile for other podcasters, nay, let's call them creators, right? Because it's something that we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel. Podcasting is sort of following the trajectory of early digital days, right? It's still the Wild West. It's all very exciting. Where else can podcasting exist? How do we define it these days? And so we love to be part of that conversation and sort of being thought leaders.
Well, I do see The Roost as thought leaders, not just part of the conversation. I think you've led the conversation, as you said, you know, being early stage video first. And so what's your prognostication for YouTube? And why don't you explain to everybody what that means and when you think we're going to see RSS feeds on YouTube and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I think they're doing the auto RSS ingestion into YouTube now, right? You know, it's funny, our thinking around YouTube is less about video, more about the platform itself. And so our thinking when it comes to multi-platform distributed podcasts is, who's your target audience and where have they been conditioned to go to just consume content? So, like, let's take the podcast out of the equation almost entirely. Where does that audience go to spend their time watching content, right? And so if you're a podcaster, or let's call them, again, creator, if you're a creator that wants to create content, it just so happens to be a podcast, you want to put it in the place where your target audience has been going all their lives to just consume whatever it is that they want to do. That's why I loved our event today, actually, because Tom was talking about, you know, content consumption, where generally where people go.
And Tom is Tom Webster, who is a full partner now with Brian Barletta of Sounds Profitable and one of our industry's leading research experts.
Yeah, Tom is an amazing thought leader in the space, and we love to be partnered with him and Brian and sort of, you know, bringing this event into fruition. And we want to continue to do this sort of thing as time goes on and really just beating the drum on this business. But going back to the notion about multi-platform distribution, how YouTube generally fits into the equation, we like to say, content consumption is a conditioned behavior. And so depending on who you talk to about what a podcast is, they might give you a different definition. I'm talking to the house mom in Florida in their 40s. It's that thing I listen to on Apple. Oh, it's because she has her Apple device and it generally curates, you know, it goes that way. If I'm talking to the finance guy who has a long commute to work, living in New York in his 30s, he listens to it on Spotify because that's where he goes for his music streaming. But if I talk to a college student down in Arizona, you know, since they were 6 years old, they've been watching YouTube, and that's just where they go to for everything. So it's really no surprise to us that they would try to seek out their podcast there, and that's why we're seeing podcast-like content, you know, bringing such big numbers there, is because that audience, that young 18 to 34-year-old audience, has just always known that as a central destination all their lives.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know that Brian is also fond of saying that we don't have to say that a podcast is this or a podcast is that,
yeah.
Right? So what's your feeling about the future of video? And then sort of part two is, what's your business model at The Roost? Yeah. Where do you make your money and how?
Well, one, just going back to the definition of podcast and what it is and what it isn't, I think it will always have the foundation in audio. I don't want to ever forget about the audio. You know, it's not a podcast if it doesn't have audio. That's generally our feeling. It can have video, it can be on YouTube. Heck, we might even see a world a year or two where long form content is being distributed on TikTok and consumed in a way that's generally curated on TikTok, and using all those, you know, brilliant algorithmic features that the platform offers. And so the second part of your question was,
what's your business model? How do you make money?
Yeah, so the thing that we had started a long time ago was, you know, at the time people didn't care about a YouTube view. And so it was really incumbent on us to go to all these podcast media advertising agencies and tell them, here's why you should place equal value on a view as you would an audio download. And back then that was like, a video view, I don't even know what, you know, how do you even equate that with a download? I'm looking to spend money in podcasting. And so it was important to us to sort of describe to them what the appeal was and how, one, the audience engagement, especially as it relates to the audience that comes to us on YouTube, right? Showing that they're just as powerful, they're just as, you know, worthy of your time and attention. Second, a view and a download are count as two separate metrics, right? A view is 30 seconds of playback on YouTube, and then audio download is 60 seconds, you know, by unique user, and it has all these IAB rules attached to it. Where do I think this is going? One, you know, we've always had the two together, and a large part of our business has been, you know, doing these baked-in host reads that appear across all your content, regardless of where you go to. Where I see this going is that, one, we need to be smarter about those views in particular, because we just heard today in this brilliant panel that EB put together. How's that?
That would be me.
That the big thing is, like, we're not able to properly measure those returns, and it's also a fallacy to think that brand awareness advertisers don't care to measure what that journey actually looks like, right? What their ROI is. There is ROI, it's just not the same as DR. And so it's incumbent on us to really continue to build out the tools to show them what their returns actually are when they're investing in podcasting. In audio, we're making strides, right? Because we have attribution, you know, we prefix attribution, all those different things. Video, we don't have that. Video, it's still very much early days, and we're gonna have to figure out ways to sort of plug into that, you know, back end of YouTube API and find better ways to measure so that we can add it to the overall mix.
I think that's so interesting, and I don't think I really put two and two together about that, AJ. So you're bullish on audio and video and attribution and everybody just embracing podcasting everywhere and anything.
Yeah, exactly. We need to properly measure and communicate those returns for the advertising community, because what's the reason why podcasting is so big today? It's because we found direct response has used it as their primary tool to actually get the word out about the products and services that they're representing, right? And that was the foundation of podcasting. There's money to be had. And we can do a lot better on this front. So as new platforms are coming into the mix and like it's stretching the definition of a podcast, we need to just find more robust ways of measuring value for the advertising community.
That was such an optimistic and smart look to the future of how we grow as an industry. Any final words, AJ?
You know, we gave a presentation at Podcast Movement Evolutions on how do you generally look at other platforms and your content. You know, one of the things that have helped us build our business is looking beyond the podcast. You know, if you look at the flywheel of podcasting and all the different ways that you can actually make money, advertising is just one sliver of that total pie. And so if you want to properly tackle YouTube and TikTok and other new platforms that will inevitably join the fray into the future, we really have to almost take the podcast out of the center of our universe and think about the brand and the messaging. Because looking at all these platforms as sort of equal to one another, you start to lose sight of why the consumer goes to those platforms, and you start to lose sight of how do they generally interact with the content on that platform, because it may not look like a podcast. And so, you know, it's really analyzing that piece of it and started franchise building from the very beginning and just, you know, creating native content to that platform that will ultimately benefit the podcast.
could not have come up with better final words than those. You're brilliant. Thank you so much for this, AJ Feliciano of the Roost Podcast Network. No matter what we call a podcast, no matter how you consume it. Yay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.